Here we are now at the Sexagesima Sunday, preparing ourselves to enter into the season of Lent that will begin, of course, on Ash Wednesday, which this year falls on March the 5th. We hope and we pray that the seed of God's word that is sown in our hearts during this most holy season may bring forth abundant fruit through our prayer and through our fasting, through our good works. And today we continue with our series on the seven deadly sins. Some of the deacons are gone this weekend on retreat, but Deacon Mark is here. We have to pray for his little grandchild and pray for Deacon Mark and his family. And the priest, because the deacons are on that retreat, the priests are given the task to preach about this deadly sin of gluttony. And it seems like an appropriate topic because we're preparing to enter into the season of Lent. Why? Because, of course, Lent, we wholeheartedly deny ourselves so we can be purified and made ready to celebrate the greatest feast of the liturgical year, the Feast of Easter. So let's take a look at that deadly sin of gluttony. For starters, I would just like to point out that perhaps there are a lot of people committing this sin these days in our country. We have so much food available for most people that we now have an obesity problem among the young as well as among the old. The CDC says that approximately 42% of U.S. adults are considered obese. And furthermore, about 74% of adults in the U.S. are overweight. Now, of course, not all people are overweight because of overeating, as there are other reasons why people become overweight. But let's consider those who indulge themselves and consume too much food or too much drink. The definition of gluttony derives from the Latin word gula, from gutere. It means to gulp down or swallow, meaning overindulgence, overconsumption of anything to the point of waste. When someone crams their mouth with their favorite ice cream as quickly as they can, they are being gluttonous, that is, excessively greedy. So basically, gluttony refers to being excessive in consumption of especially food or drink. Another not so flattering description of a gluttonous person is hoggish, piggish, piggy, swinish. Told you it's not that flattering. Obviously, gluttony is a sin. It's classified as one of the seven deadly sins. It's a sin of overconsumption, of indulgence, and of inevitable self-destruction. When the desires of the flesh are put forth first in one's life and not God, it is a sin against our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We were made for more than to merely serve our physical appetites. The glutton seeks comfort in food and drink, while he should seek comfort in the Lord. The glutton makes an idol of food and drink and says to God, "What you have provided is not enough, is not good enough, or is not what I want." Gluttony demands more than is needed. It cannot be satisfied with merely enough. For St. Thomas Aquinas, there are five forms of gluttony: eating too expensively, eating too daintily, eating too much, eating too soon, and eating too eagerly. I would say that probably all of us have fallen into one or more of these categories at some time in our lives. So how how does a person counteract the sin of gluttony? Basically, the way to counteract this sin is by practicing temperance, practicing moderation. If we curb physical appetites and refuse to be mastered by them, we can begin to be free of this deadly sin of gluttony. The scriptures refer to the sin of gluttony in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Ezekiel. In the New Testament, St. Paul includes gluttony in his works of the flesh and even as a form of idolatry, saying their God is their stomach in the letter to the Philippians. And so in this period of pre-Lent, we are called to examine our lives in light of how we are or are not living the life of a true Christian disciple. In terms of overeating or overdrinking, we have to take seriously the church's warning about gluttony. It's a deadly sin, can lead us to fall away from the worship of God and into eternal separation from his kingdom. The blessed season of Lent is meant to act as a corrective to the tendency to indulge ourselves in food and drink. Fasting, of course, is the practice of eating less or refraining from eating anything for a period of time. It is a way to discipline our wills to imitate the Lord in his fast of 40 days when he went into the desert. And fasting has medicinal effects on the body, as well as spiritual strengthening against temptations. Certainly, it's a good way to exercise control over our tendency to eat or drink too much. A person might decide to fast each Friday, for example, on only one meal, and during Lent, as is required by canon law, to abstain from eating meat on Fridays as well. Some people fast on Wednesdays and Fridays on just bread and water, and others fast on Saturdays in honor of Our Lady. We might fast to end abortion or for another purpose. It was the practice of the saints to mortify their appetites by deliberately eating less food and food that was not so pleasing. They sought to counteract and control their desires for pleasure, and fasting was one way that they did this. Not that all fasting or drinking was bad, but that which was excessive, which overindulges our appetites, certainly is not good for us spiritually and can even be deadly. Perhaps during this upcoming season of Lent, we might deliberately refrain from eating food that is sweet and tasty, remembering how we have perhaps been unmindful of the sufferings of those who go hungry each day. Their lot is anything but sweet. The money that we would have spent on a delicious meal in a restaurant during Lent, we might consider donating to a charitable organization that helps feed the poor. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. It's good to keep in mind what truly nourishes our souls and not to be so overly concerned about our bodies. May God help us to make a very good Lent and be able to put to death the tendency to overindulge ourselves. May help us to not commit the sin of gluttony. And if we have committed it, to seek his forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation.